Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are recording right now. Okay, there was a man, and this man was living in a corrupt culture. This culture treated objects and statues the way Allah is to be treated. They begged of them for their needs the way Allah is to be begged of for needs. They prayed to them, they asked them, they trusted them. But this guy has a very conscious heart. His heart told him that this is wrong. And he looked for the truth. He was looking for the truth. And he didn't find the truth. He believed that this can't be right. These dead objects and pictures and images and statues cannot be the true God. The true God has to be someone else. So, what he did, he went looking for the truth. And what was it? He went looking for the truth everywhere. He wanted to know, if these are not gods, these statues are not gods, then where are gods? Where are they? Who is God? What's the truth about it? So, he went to the Christians, the Christian theology is that God went down in a form of a man and he lit a bunch of criminal thugs, beat him up really hard and humiliate him and hurt him and then kill him on the cross.
Really? Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Yes. So he said, God gotta be better than that. Gotta be better than that. Can't work that way. Then he went to the, got to learn about the Jewish religion, which says God is one, so the number's right, but it has a low image of Allah. Like, it says that Allah gets angry, Allah has to wait to learn what happens, what's going to happen in the future, Allah regrets what he does, he makes mistakes, he learns from his mistakes. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. That he learns from his mistakes and all of these things. And that didn't make sense to him. He said, Allah, God, has to be better than that. So he ran out of where people to ask or ideas, what to do. Then, while he was thinking, an idea came to his mind to find the truth. He said, okay, I live in a corrupt culture that worship idols, pagans, pagan culture. So it's always make me unable to think clearly. You know, in order to think clearly, you have to get out of your environment, because when you live in a place, this place will influence the way you think, right? You live in the United States, you would think different if you live in Russia, think different if you live in Pakistan and live in Egypt. The surroundings will control the way you think. So he said, okay, now I live in this pagan culture. If I stay there, I will never be able to think clearly. And then he also said, okay, this universe, who's the maker of this universe?
Allah.
So he said to himself, okay, if the maker of this universe is Allah, then this universe will tell me something about Allah, right? How? The product, this universe is the product of Allah, right? The product will always tell you about the maker, right? So if you see a good car, then you will see the maker is a good engineer. Is that true? But if you see a bad car, then you will say the maker is a bad engineer, right? So he said, if I observe this nature, I will learn something about the maker of this nature. So he decided to go into a cave and seclude himself into this cave to free his brain from the pressure of this culture that he lives in and to start thinking clearly and to observe the nature. And guess what happened? Always when he was in the cave, he used to beg of pray and say, oh Allah, tell me who you are. Tell me, teach me more about you. I want to know more about you. I want to know why you made us. I know you're not what all those people say. You're different. I need to know the truth about you. And the truth about our presence in this universe. Why are we made? Where are we going? What's going to happen to us after death? And all of these questions, he used to beg of Allah to learn the answers of all these questions. But nothing came to him until one night in the evening, he was in the cave alone. A big, huge man, very freaky looking or scary looking, something like that. And then the guy was clean, clean clothes. It smells good. Now in the old days, it's not United Airlines if you travel. It's not airports. You travel walking, you smell awful, and your body is all full of dirt and your clothes are full of dirt. There's no way you can be that clean at all. Okay? So now this guy comes from nowhere clean and smells good. So he's not a traveler. And he doesn't know him. He's not from the area. And then he walked into him. And he said, Muhammad, read. So Muhammad was shocked. And then he said, I don't know how to read. So he hugged him. Squeezed him really tightly, tightly. Until Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought that he is going to die. It was a very tight, 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 painful, painful, painful hug. He was about, he said, until I thought I am in the process of dying. I'm almost dead. Because of the way he hugged him and so tightly. And then he released him. And he told him, Muhammad, read. Prophet Muhammad, I don't know how to read. So he hugged him again, squeezed him tightly, tightly, tightly. So he figured out that, and then he released him. So Prophet Muhammad figured out that this answer is not going to work because he keeps hugging him and squeezing him. So he said, read what? Read what? What do you want me to read? Then he said, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. He recited to him the first part of Surah Iqra. Now, this is a very important event, a very, very important event that we need to analyze really deeply. Because you will be questioned by people and saying, what do you mean? What do you mean walking him? Why did he squeeze him? Why did he hug him? When he walked in, isn't he supposed to say, Salamu alaykum? And introduce himself? Why didn't you just walk in and say, Salamu alaykum Muhammad, my name is Angel Jibreel, and I came to you to say this and that, read in the name of your Lord. Why is this scenario? Why is the hug and, you know, like Prophet Muhammad feeling that his bones are about to crush and he's dying, release him, hug, release, read. Whoa. What is going on here? What is the meaning of all of this? Everything has a meaning, right? So what is the meaning? Why? Why that way? Okay. Let's take it one step at a time. Let's say, why did he give him a painful hug? The first thing we want to learn today, why did he hug him? And why the hug was painful? Any ideas? You heard this story since you were a child, right? Did you ever think, why did he hug him and why the hug was painful? Did you ever think about that? Did anything come to your mind? Okay. This is what happens. This is life on earth. This is what has been happening all over the history. This is life on earth. Life on earth. Okay? And these are moral values. Okay? And this is time. This is time. Okay. How did it start? It starts from here. Creation of Adam. Okay? Then what happens? Shaitan pulls it down. He wants the life to be controlled by evil temptations, which are the manners of the Shaitan. He wants life to be controlled by selfishness, greed, meanness, arrogance, hate, you know, all these evil, love of power, all stinginess, that's what the Shaitan wants. Merciless, he wants life to be controlled, or he wants us to run our business based on these evil values. Because that's what he wants, that's who he is. He wants this life to be run based on his values. But Allah wants this life to be run, or he wants us to do business based on his values or his manners, which are kindness, generosity, forgiveness. He forgives, he's the most forgiving, and he wants us to forgive each other. He's the most kind, he wants us to be kind to one another. Okay? So Allah wants life to be controlled by moral values. Shaitan wants life to be controlled by evil values. So because of the work of the Shaitan, the manners on earth decline until they reach to zero, and then they reach to very awful level. Okay, so now this is the work of Shaitan. He pulls it down. This is influence of Shaitan. Until you reach to a point where life on earth is so awful. People are so awful. People are doing business on earth based on selfishness and greed and hate and arrogance and you name it. Awful life. You really don't want to live in this world that looks like that. Then when it becomes like that, Allah does what? Allah sends a prophet. Allah sends a prophet. Then this prophet is a link between heavens and earth, right? So if this is heavens, then the prophet would be a link between heavens and earth. So it's going to link heavens to earth. It's like, or instead of doing that, we can just see like two-way communication. Link between, or communication between heavens and earth. See? So this is the communication between heavens and earth. What happens when the heaven communicates with earth? This is what happens. Look what happens. That's what happens here. Heaven will pull up life on earth. Will lift it up. So heaven will lift up the life on earth to be controlled back by moral values. So it goes back up. Because of that, life goes up here. Because of the communication between heavens and earth, the heaven lifts. So now here, heaven lifts life on earth up. You know what I mean by lifting it up? Huh? Yes. Prophet does what? What's the job of the prophet? Threefold, right? Instead of meanness, he teaches kindness. And instead of stinginess, he teaches generosity. And instead of mercilessness, he teaches mercy. Right? You see how this heaven is uplifting life on earth up? You understand now what I mean? So now heavens is uplifting life up, and the life was going to be a good, good, good life. So the prophet works opposite to the shaitan. Shaitan brings you down, heavens will bring you up. Who connects you to heaven? What is the connection between earth and heavens?
Prophet.
A prophet pulling you up. You got it? You got that? You got that? Perfect. All right. Then what happens? Would shaitan leave you alone? Kidding. Shaitan will never leave you alone. So what happens? Shaitan would work again. There's no point. Oh, actually. Okay. So once prophet is gone. Yes. Once the prophet is gone, shaitan says, ha 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 ha. Now I can do my business and bring the life down, back down onto earth. The shaitan has all kinds of ideas, like the idea of middle God that we talked about to take advantage of you. He has a lot of ideas, like rated R movies. You name it. I mean, shaitan. And actually, shaitan now is not teaching any more ideas. Shaitan now is learning from the human shaitan. Human satans. Not all satans are from jinkind. Allah says in the Quran that there are satans from mankind. They are so evil that they influence people the same way shaitan influences people. They bring you down. Hey, body, drugs. Hey, they make, you know, join a gang or whatever, you know, or get you in drugs. They are human devils, human satans. They bring you down, down, from up, down to the bottom.
But then there's not going to be another prophet after Muhammad's stone.
Yes, I am coming to that. Then, what happens? Allah will send the prophet. Huh? Next prophet. So this is next prophet. You see now the cycle? Then this next prophet will have left life on earth or left moral values on earth. To heavenly values instead of evil values. Because, again, of the two-way communication between heavens and earth. Two-way communication. Between heavens and earth. So, without this communication, it's not possible to lift the life on earth up. It's just simply not possible, period. You can't lift life up without this communication. So then, what happens? The work of the prophet, it goes up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. You see? See, it repeats itself. Cycles, cycles, cycles. Until the last cycle is Prophet Muhammad. So this last one is Prophet Muhammad. Okay? And then the last cycle is the Day of Judgment here. So we're somewhere here. We're somewhere here. I guess here is the death of Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad is gone. He's dead. And then we're declining now. We're going down. Ends with Day of Judgment. Allah will start the Day of Judgment when the last person who says La ilaha illallah dies. When the last person who knows Allah dies. When everybody on earth has a low image of Allah. You have a low image of Allah? Remember, anybody who's not believing in the submission to the perfect God, anybody who doesn't have a high, perfect image of Allah, has a low image of Allah, that's a mushrik. That's a what? A mushrik. That's non-believer. Okay? So until the earth is full of people who have low image of Allah, then the Day of Judgment starts. Because that's it. Allah doesn't want this existence to remain anymore. Okay. So now, how is that related to the hug? So what is the hug then? Looking at this curve, what is this hug?
What?
The hug.
Hug.
The hug of Angel Jibreel. Okay, Angel Jibreel, I'll give you a clue. I'll give you a clue. Angel Jibreel, is he a heavenly being or an earthly being?
Heavenly.
Heavenly being. And Prophet Muhammad?
Earthly
being. So what happens when an earthly being hugs a heavenly being?
It's really powerful.
Oh, heaven goes into the earth.
Perfect! It's the beginning of communication between heavens and earth. Takbir! Allahu Akbar. That's good. This communication starts with a hug. So you see now? So the hug is here. Now I'm going to zoom in this Prophet Muhammad part. I'm going to zoom in it. Okay? Because, you know, this is where we're focusing. So the first thing starts the communication between heavens and earth. So what is the hug? Huh? Again, it's important to know that. What is the hug?
What?
What is it? It symbolizes what?
Communication between
heavens and earth. Why do we need communications between heaven and earth?
So the world like rises up.
Because life on earth is lifted up by heavens. Let me take a picture. Okay, so now, zoom in on the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He is lifting earth up. We do another diagram for the work of Prophet Muhammad. Now, if somebody asks you, what is this hug story that you Muslims are telling me? Hug. There's an angel hugging your prophet. Why is he hugging him? Did he kiss him too? You know? What is the meaning of this hug? Or are you guys just repeating things blindly without understanding? You guys don't know what you're talking about. Well, we know what we're talking about. Okay? So this is high moral values. Moral values. Here, it is heavenly values. And here, it's evil values. So now, here is the curve coming, and here is Prophet Muhammad. First is the hug. The first thing is the hug. Hug is the communication, begin start of communication. Between heavens and earth. Hug is the start of communication between heavens and earth. And the Prophet works so hard. Works so hard until here, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dead. So, actually, I made a mistake. That was supposed to be here. Here, this is... Because once Prophet Muhammad became a prophet... Yep, it was the start of going up. Now, so now we know the hug. So if somebody asks you simply, what is the hug? Tells them, this is the beginning of communication between heavens and earth. Jibril is a heavenly guy. Prophet Muhammad is an earthly guy. They, when angel Jibril hugs Prophet Muhammad, this is the beginning of this communication. And then, what was the first thing he taught? Read. Okay. Now, the second question that comes is, you Muslims say that the hug was painful, that your guy, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was about to die. He was about to die, and it was so painful. Why was it so painful? Any ideas? Think. Why is it so painful? Oh, that's a dollar?
Yeah. That's what I was saying is illegal.
Right. Why was it so painful? Because? Huh?
To show the power of angel Jibril.
Of course, to show that one of the things is that to show that heavens is way much stronger than earth. Right? And also, but there's an important meaning. What is the meaning of the pain and the hug? There's a more important meaning, which is says that no pain, no
gain.
The hug was so painful The hug was so painful. To symbolize, to refer to symbolize, the law of nature. No pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. And also, show us that the power of heaven is so much more than earth or earthly power. The heavenly power is way much more than earthly power. Okay, Muslims, now you're starting to make sense to me. Yeah. Now you Muslims are starting to make sense to me. Now tell me, you Muslims, what is that Iqra? Read. You Muslims, do you have an answer for me? What is this read? Why did he say read? And what's the meaning of read? Read what? Huh?
Read in the name of Allah.
Read in the name of Allah. What does it mean to read in the name of Allah? What if you read without the name of Allah? What happens? Do you have to read in the name of Allah? Can you read not in the name of Allah? And what happens if you read without the name of Allah? What happens if you read without the name of Allah? What happens? And read what in the name of Allah? It is about...
Read the Quran.
Just the Quran? But you know, remember that the scope of this life, Quran is... When you read Quran just by voice, life does not improve. To improve the life, you need to bring Quran down to earth, to implement Quran basically down on the land of reality. You can't just recite Quran and expect things to go. Did the Prophet just stay there reciting Quran?
No.
Or did he have to work?
Work?
He had to work. So what happens is that read and understand life using the names of Allah. Read and explain life using the names of Allah. Okay, I'll just give you an example to show you what do we mean by, what's the difference between someone who reads in the name of Allah and someone who doesn't. The name the Creator or the Maker. if someone is reading life, if someone is reading life and ignoring the name of Allah the Maker, what could go wrong? Can you think of what could go wrong if someone is reading life without the name of Allah the Maker? Think, what could go wrong? This person could say that the life...
Someone else
thinks. Yes, this person can say this life is a product of evolution. Because we read life using the name of Allah, the Creator or the Maker, then we say this life is a product of Allah. Hold on, Allah. If you don't read life using or understand life using the name of Allah, the Creator, then you say life is a product of evolution. Life is a product of evolution. Let me just get familiar with the names. Tasneem? Okay. Samiha? Last name, Azad?
Yeah.
What's your first name?
Anika.
Anika?
Yeah.
Okay. And Sahar? Okay. Aisha? Aisha, didn't get any homeworks from you.
I haven't, but I forgot to send it.
Please do, because you missed all work since the beginning of the year. Noor?
Yeah.
Haya? Okay, good. So now, so we do have two glasses to read life. We can read life using the glasses of Iqra, and then we will read life correctly. We will not read life the wrong way. And then we also can read life without the glasses of Iqra. Then you get confused. Earth was developed by creation. Or atheists, they say Earth has been always there and will always be there. There was no beginning to the Earth. There is no end to the Earth. Just life is just keep going there. Okay. Some of them do the Big Bang. Some of them say there's no beginning, there is no end. And some of them say this life is just going to remain forever. And some of them say it's just whatever, what you see, what you get is what you see. What you see is what you get. There's nobody else other than what you see around you. All these ideas came because they failed to read in the name of Allah. When you read in the names of Allah, the names of Allah will explain everything in life for you. There's nothing that you will miss or you will understand wrong when you read in the names of Allah. Alright? So your homework is going to be summarized in no less than 200 words and send it by email. And make sure when I send you an email saying you're missing this and this, make sure to respond to my email. Yes.
Did you get the homeworks? I sent the word on
the right. Yeah. Yes, you're dismissed.
Thank you so much.
Walaikum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.